Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Every single day, reality calls, and the Biden administration just hangs up.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say.
Mark Reardon.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
All I ask is that you're a woman.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
We cannot let that KBJ bite go. We're developing all these new opens for the show in the new era, if you will. I got to keep that one in there. We got to tell Wiggins because it's just too good. And it sums up so much of the nonsense that exists out there on the left. And we're seeing a lot of that right now. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the Hall of Famer in the room. Fred and Sue is here as well. And then I kind of introduce them in reverse order because I didn't do the ladies first. I'm out of practice with that.
Well, you go Hall of Fame first.
I think there's an executive order about that.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, on that front, so just because I've been following this and I mentioned it yesterday, Fred, we have got to, when he gets back from Italy, we've got to get Kenny Wallace on. He went to the...
Oh, I love it.
He went to Ferrari yesterday.
Yeah.
If you don't follow Kenny Wallace on Twitter, you don't know what you're missing. He's really one of the gems of the planet, not just St. Louis. 100%
accurate.
He really is, and he's one of my favorite people, and he really is just having the time of his life. One of the things I love about Kenny is because he's exactly the opposite of me when it comes to like mood and optimism and all of that stuff. So I depend on someone like Kenny. I've admitted this before because I'm just like negative Nancy all the time and throwing off all this bad energy, and then I got Kenny Wallace in my life, and it's just wonderful. So
yep, and he's just so funny. He's one of them. You know, he does coffee with Kenny morning, and one of them he says, "Well, let's have coffee with Kenny." He moves the camera, and you can see the some great thing like the Coliseum behind him.
Oh yeah. No, it's
and
really
he's
fun.
Like, I'm having fun.
It is really fun. You know who else is having fun right now? Donald Trump.
Oh yeah.
If you look at what is happening, and I know that 90% of the legacy media hates him. But again, just a few minutes ago, he was signing executive orders. I'm going to play a little audio from this. And he just started answering questions. So you're going to hear Will Sharpe in here because Will's the guy. What's his official title, Fred?
I think he's like the secretary to the president.
He's the executive order dude. That's what I'm going to call him because he brings the executive orders and the pens and he says, hey, sign here and maybe we'll give the pen to the group that that you signed for here. So here's a little bit of this. This just happened like in the last 40 minutes.
Next, we have a set of pardons for peaceful pro-life protesters who were prosecuted by the Biden administration for exercising their First Amendment rights.
Do you know how many?
I believe it's 23, sir.
23 people were prosecuted. They should not have been prosecuted. Many of them are elderly people. They should not have been prosecuted.
So there's been a lot of pressure because, of the pardons with the J6ers. A lot of the pro-life folks have said, hey, what about us?
This is a great honor to sign this.
That's a lot of pen sound there with
that's
the signature.
That's a lot of pen sound.
And he gets to keep the pen, a little souvenir.
That's really cool.
It is. I think he's starting. I want to see.
That'd be great. So they're all in prison now.
Some are out of custody.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I think. Let me see if I can get to the question.
Is that you, RFK Jr.?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I apologize because this happened all right before the show, and I told Fred I wanted to grab this audio, and we didn't really have time to edit it out.
Mr. President, a U.S. judge temporarily blocks the birthright citizenship order. Do you have any reaction?
No, obviously we'll appeal. They put it before a certain judge in Seattle, I guess, right? And there's no surprises with that judge.
All right, so just to let people know what's going on here, this is one of the big stories of the day. We're going to cover it, the birthright citizenship executive order. It was always going to be challenged because there are, and I had a listener that reached out, you know, that was upset about the judge, and understandably so, but this was always going to be something that a judge was going to step in, and it's going to go to the Supremes. And then we don't know exactly, we're going to talk with Ilya Shapiro, who is one of our constitutional law experts. This is one of those issues that is not really clear. So I'm not a constitutional expert. My gut is the only way really to change this would be through a, you know, either a constitutional convention or you got 2/3 of the states that would approve it. How long has it been since we've done something like that? And could you get the country on board? I don't know. On this immigration issue, maybe you could. But that's the reaction he has because the judge just made that decision a few hours ago.
Mr. President, Senators Collins and Murkowski have now said they will vote against Pete Hegseth. Are you worried about his confirmation and your reaction?
No. And no surprises there. Too bad. You know, since the way it is, too bad.
And when would you adjourn Congress recess appointments, Mr. President?
Well, I'd take a look at that. I listened to John Thune. He's doing a fantastic job. We're moving along. The Democrats are trying to delay government, as they always do. They can't help themselves. Even John Ratcliffe, who's very, very strong, very popular, and liked by the Democrats, I guess.
John Ratcliffe was confirmed today as CIA director.
It's taking a long time, and it shouldn't be taking a long time. They're maxing everything out so they can delay everything as much as possible.
Does Senator Flynn support an effort to use recess appointments if you to do that?
Right, well, they go on here with some of this. I just wanted to sample the first, but Fred, we'll have to wade through that. I'll get Ethan to kind of check it out, and we'll see if anything else emerges from that. They did not air that live on Fox. They kind of did a little bit of a delayed broadcast, and they got it on before the 3 o'clock hour as he was signing those executive orders. And we're going to get in, as I mentioned, we'll talk about birthright citizenship. We're going to have a great conversation in the 4 o'clock hour with one of my favorite political types, Carl Cannon, who is the Washington Bureau Chief for Real Clear Politics. We have State Senator Nick Schor coming up here this afternoon, because one of the issues in Jeff City has to do with state control of the police department. We'll find out where that legislation is. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be on the panel, of course. She's in Jeff City. She's been working that issue because she is a lobbyist for the police. Former Senator Lamping will be here, and John Gaskin on the panel tomorrow. Also, all the regular stuff with Paul Hall on entertainment. Cusimano will talk a little NFL playoffs and Blues hockey, etc. Alex Gold from Kansas City. We love Alex. He's someone we hooked up with maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago on the Kansas City side. He was really helpful during all the sports wagering, you know, ballot amendment stuff. But he'll have a good breakdown of the playoff games. And then our friend Tim Sommer, who is awesome. We love talking music with Tim. He'll be here tomorrow night. He wrote a great piece that was in the New York Times about 10 days ago about aging rock roadies and guitar techs.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and some of these folks have been out there. They're so important to the success of these artists. And you don't know their names, but they're still out there working hard into their 70s and in some cases into their 80s. So I have some... We'll get an update on the fires, too. Let me just say, it's not been the greatest day in Los Angeles. The good news is these crews are doing such an amazing job. And the difference is, and I don't know how you'd feel right now if you had a home in the Palisades or in Arcadia that's gone, because they're being very successful at saving homes and properties right now because they have so many resources. I think a justifiable question for someone who lost their home is, hey, wait a second, where were my resources, right? Where was the water in the Palisades? That's something that Trump wants an answer to before he helps with California at all. But the fires have been, there have been some that they have successfully really, I guess, put out. This Ventura County fire up near, this is one of those things where I know this area a little bit because I've been to LA so many times and I've ridden my bike out there. But the fire that really took off earlier this afternoon, again, Fred, it was one of those, it was like 9 acres, and then it was 15 acres, and then it was, you know, 30 acres. The one yesterday got to 9,400 acres.
Wow.
I don't know where that is right now, but this new fire in Ventura County is slightly northeast from Oxnard, California, and they're really fighting winds and a lot of flames. But right now, it's just the vegetation. situation. And some of it is backfires. So you have fire crews that are, you know, setting some fires that are closer to the roads out there to try to get the brush to clear out. It's been quite the process. They have those, the super scoopers. Have you seen those? That was one of the planes that got taken out by a drone. I think they have two of those out there.
Okay.
And there is a lake, Lake Castaic, which is right there in that area where that fire broke out yesterday, and they've been dipping down into there and grabbing water. And but here's what I'll tell you also from watching this today, Fred. You know, we had the representative, and I can't remember the name of the company now, is the division of Monsanto that makes all the pink stuff, Perimeter Solutions, yeah. Right? And when I was, and this is what happens. So when I watched last weekend, a lot of this goes back, I guess, a week ago now, or, you know, really starting with what happened 2 weeks ago Tuesday in the Palisades. But you can see how they're effectively dropping that solution, the retardant, and creating lines. But when I was watching it this morning, you know what I saw? I saw the retardant coming out of the airplanes and just floating above the terrain because the winds were just basically taking it away. So that was, you know, that's one of the issues that they're dealing with. They have a lot of evacuations. And then, you know what else I caught this morning watching one of the feeds? You got the looters that are going in there. The cops are trying to find people running around in these neighborhoods. So they have that to deal with, the boneheads that are trying to, you know, rip people off. But that is another one of the stories that we'll follow here this afternoon. And then I gotta go back and check this message. I fell asleep relatively early last night. And all of a sudden, I don't know what's happened here to my wife, Fred, but she's like watching. She's never been someone that has, you know, been nonstop watching Fox News or anything like that. It's not that she doesn't pay attention, but she doesn't really do that often. And I get this message late last night. I'm eating cookies in bed watching ICE take down immigrants. So that was entertainment. That was popcorn entertainment last night. But
you've got great sound on that, too.
So Tom Homan is real serious about this. Yeah,
yes,
let's get to
is.
The Bill Malusion stuff, because this is pretty good. And I don't know how many people have seen this. So he rode with ICE agents in Boston. And here's his report.
Good morning, everyone.
It's a frigid 5 degrees in the pre-dawn hours just outside of Boston, where this team of elite ICE officers is briefing on their targets for the day.
We're going to be targeting some extremely violent offenders today.
Within moments, the officers are on the move with eyes on their first target.
Looks like we got movement, target vehicle coming out.
They quickly take him into custody. He's an MS-13 gang member wanted in El Salvador for aggravated murder. And he has an Interpol red notice out for his arrest.
We are targeting very violent threats to our community.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti.
Yeah, check this guy out.
He's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
Can you hear what he was saying? He's like, thank Obama for everything he did to me, bro.
For me.
ICE Boston quickly takes down its next targets, including this illegal alien from Brazil who had Interpol red notice for armed robbery. This Salvadoran illegal alien charged locally with rape and released by a sanctuary jurisdiction.
Well, we have, look, some of our folks in the media are really struggling with this. They're struggling with the rule of law. And let me offer Dana Bash at CNN as an example here. Oh, by the way, I got great CNN news today. Acosta has been put on the sidelines. Like, they just unveiled a new lineup for CNN. It does not include Jim Acosta. The rumor is he's going like overnight after midnight. I would expect that he will not take that gig and he'll be looking for work like Don Lemon and some of the other folks. And it couldn't happen to a more idiotic journalist, if you want to even call him that. But here's Dana Bash struggling with this. So Tom Homan, who's kicking ass right now, and Tom, Fred and I were talking about this yesterday. We've lost half the contributors to this damn radio show, Sue. They are all in the administration. We got Will Scharf and Homan, General
Chris Klem, Keith Kellogg.
Oh man,
there's a couple more that we're not even thinking about right now. So Dana is just so troubled by this, and you know, cracking down on illegal immigrants. So she wanted to ask some questions of Tom Homan, but because she's like, well, what will happen if somebody, if you're going after one of these gang members, but there's someone else that just happens to be in the room that is also flagrantly violating the law? What will you do, Tom?
But you are also saying that those who are undocumented in the U.S., also who don't have criminal records, people who are working in their communities, maybe even have spouses who are American citizens, they could be swept up with ICE today as well?
What I'm telling you is when we go find our priority target, which is a criminal alien, if he's with others in the United States illegally, we're going to take enforcement action against them. We're going to enforce the immigration law.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? I mean, why would you expect, as an anchor at CNN, the answer to be different than that? Hey, Tom, if you're arresting someone and then you encounter other people who are also breaking the law, will you just let them go like we've done for the past 4 years? No, we're not going to do that. Some of the reaction out there, it's so much fun to see the heads explode because action is actually taking place. Like, there's a guy, I retweeted this earlier. There's a guy, I don't even know who he is, Mark Zaid, and he was talking about some of the DEI stuff that's going on there. And he said this: it goes beyond what happened at DHS and NASA today. CIA employees were told all resource and affinity groups are canceled. No Black History Month or MLK celebration or any other ethnic recognition months. DEI folks are to be fired rather than allowed to rotate to former offices. My response was, apparently he thinks this is bad. No, this is a radical idea, but perhaps the federal employees can concentrate on something called work. If they don't want to go back to the office, well, they can work elsewhere. If they don't like the fact that we're going to concentrate on actual work for the taxpayers and you don't just get to celebrate whatever, you know, LGBT, think about it. You know what's going away here? The Alphabet Mafia, Pride Month, Pride Day, everything. Every month has something related to transgender or the Alphabet Mafia. So that's going away. The country wants it to go away. So that's a good thing. It really is amazing. Here's a little bit more of Dana Bash, too.
What happens after arrest, they're taken to an ICE office and they're processed and put in detention. While they're in detention, ICE officers work on travel documents. The host country sends travel documents saying, yeah, this is our citizen, this is our national. Then we make flight arrangements. So they could be in detention from a few days for a few weeks until that removal was made happen.
What if the host country doesn't want them, as has happened in the recent past?
We have various plans. Other countries are willing to take them. We have third safe country removals. So that's something we're working through. But I think you're going to see less of the recalcitrant countries. Countries won't take their citizens back under this president. Because this president has vowed that these countries will take them back. So I'll leave that up to the White House. But there will be negotiations with those countries who are pushing back on recalcitrancy, and they will be removed.
Yeah, look, Tom's got answers. She's asking questions. She obviously had this look of concern on her face, which, you know, I don't think was ever satisfied, because things are actually getting done in this country. Let me just, because we're on the issue of CNN, let me just address the Acosta issue, because this is actually pretty funny. Let's keep in mind that here's a guy that said this a couple of days ago.
And I did want to ask you about the inauguration yesterday, Elon Musk. I'm sure you saw this. The head of the new Department of Government Efficiency. He spoke yesterday, and during his speech, he used a hand gesture that looked like a Nazi salute.
Yeah, blah blah blah. Some of that stuff that they're repeating. And then Tim Burkett, congressman, on with him yesterday. This is my favorite thing. This might be the obituary for Jim Acosta at CNN.
This is not Fox, congressman. You can't just spin a tail and pull the wool over people's eyes.
Yeah.
This is CNN. This is the news.
Oh, this is CNN. This is the news. We are so much more important than anyone else.
We're asking you to come on and tell the truth.
And that's why more people are watching the Cartoon Network SpongeBob reruns right now, Jim. Look, I left the White House during a riot.
Yeah, well, he goes on and spikes the ball with Jim Acosta. But bye-bye, Jim Acosta. We're not going to miss you at all. We're off and running here. State Senator Nick Schroer coming up.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Got Sue's News coming up in the next hour, and then a great conversation with one of my favorite political types, Carl Cannon, who is the Washington Bureau Chief for Real Clear Politics. We'll get an update on the fires in L.A. in the 5 o'clock hour with our friend Brian Ping, who is a St. Louis native. They have this debate going on in Jeff City about control of the St. Louis City Police Department to the state. State Senator Nick Schroer is with us because he was testifying about this. I think it was at your committee that this was all being heard in front of yesterday. Nick, how are you?
I am wonderful. It's one of the committees that I'm on, but it's not the committee that I chair.
Hey, the thing that I want to point out here before we get going into the particulars, I was rather shocked because I saw that Tashara Jones, the mayor of St. Louis, was there at that hearing. I thought it was just a miracle that she was in the state for once.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. This is the first time she's actually testified on the bill. She's not flying all around like we're used to, but she's still, even though I've requested year after year after year, hey, if she's up here, can we please meet? I'll come to her office. I get attacked on social media, and she even said in one of the committee hearings that myself, Travis Fitzwater, and Brad Crist have never met with her, but we've asked many times. So again, here goes a request. Tashara, give me a call.
So what was her the sentiment from her? And this is a little complicated only because, and Nick, just being honest here, and we talk about this on the roundtable all the time. Jane and I have had these discussions. It wasn't too long ago where someone like me was arguing, yeah, we should have local control of the police department. It just seemed unusual. Well, that hasn't worked out very well. That's why we're having this discussion. But obviously, there's internal pushback for this.
Well, yeah, there's internally in the police department. I would say 100% of the police that I've talked to, that the guy who chaired for a little bit, Senator Schnelting, Fitzwater, we've talked to police in ESOP, the Ethical Society of Police, mostly African-American police, the POA, that's the other police union. All of them have said this is not working. They're injecting politics into policing. We have no backup. We have no support. It's killing our city, essentially. And, you know, back when the state control merged to the local control, you had mayors that had a great working relationship with the police. They even worked, you know, hand in hand with the police in a lot of things. Now you've got mayors that are actively defunding the police, a board of aldermen that's ran successfully on defunding the police. So that is a massive dynamic shift. But, you know, they keep touting these numbers and these statistics that have been under scrutiny for many years. And they refuse numbers despite the fact that we've asked for them many times.
Unfortunately, we got something going on with the phone line there.
Dang it.
So that does not sound
very
good.
Try calling him.
Yeah, Nick, we may have to. Can you get Ethan's attention out there? I'm going to drop
that
call and tell him to call him back, because that was just one of those things that just didn't seem to work very well. That was State Senator Nick Schroer, and we just completely lost him. So I don't know if we'll get him back here.
This is a huge issue. It's almost like the safety of St. Louis just kind of could go either way depending on what happens, because it's not working as it is now.
No, so some of the numbers, and as we get Senator Schroer back on the air, he mentioned the Fraternal Order of Police. Jay Schrader, who's been on the show many times talking about some of these things, and you know, he pointed out, and these are all numbers that we've shared, and I think a lot of people who live in the region are aware of, the urban core has lost 40,000 residents since the takeover, which was 12 years ago. It was in 2013. I can't believe that was that long ago. Honestly, I feel like we were just talking about all this stuff, right? 1,000 officers have left the force since 2017.
Jeez.
512 of those officers have left just since 2021. So just under Tish. Nick, I think we got you back. Are you there? Sorry about that.
Yeah, hopefully the Russians haven't hacked my phone line. This out here in Defiance, we don't get the best service. But yeah, to kind of piggyback on what you just said, and over 200 plus are eligible for retirement today. Oh. So even if half of those guys take retirement, we're going to be decimated.
Well, what was the messaging from Chief Tracy? Because he was there as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, Chief Tracy has been there. I have visited with him before. And this is where I get some like conflicting stories, because I talked to the police chief's organization today, and they are 100% it's in support of this piece of legislation. Chief Tracy happens to say that, no, the trust crime is going down. He wants to have the support of the men and women behind him, but he's failing to listen to them as they're crying, begging, and pleading for us to pass this bill.
I have to assume that he's just doing that because he's, you know, brought in by Tashara and is trying to play that role.
I truly believe that. You know, there have been private conversations that I've had with good friends on the police force who have said, yeah, Chief Tracy knows that this is essential to the growth of the city, the future of this entire region, that we have to get a grasp on crime. And you've got politicians that are actively defunding the police. But, yeah, he's got to say that in person if he wants to keep his job.
Well, I'm going to call Elon Musk as soon as you hang up and see if he can drop you a Starlink out there in defiance, since we're still kind of having you break up. One final question before I let you go, Nick, and we'll talk about this again on the roundtable tomorrow for us here, Lamping, John Gaskin, and Jane. There are competing bills here. The way that this is handicapped to me is there's a good chance that this is going to happen, right? I think Mike Kehoe wants it to happen, majority of Republicans. So what's the handicapping, the prediction on your part? Two competing bills, does this get done?
I think it really does. We've got two different options. We're all coming together, myself, Travis Fitzwater, Brad Crist, the governor's office. We've all come together in a unified manner. We're getting all the different factions of law enforcement together. So I would say this is the best chance we've ever had to get this thing done, having a governor that's prioritizing keeping our streets safe.
All right, State Senator Nick Schwartz, thank you so much for weighing in here this afternoon. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to piggyback off this, because if you haven't seen this, Sue, your head might explode.
I think I know what it
is. Okay, did you see what the mayor gave herself on the snow removal? Okay, this is unbelievable. So the local paper has a story that says, midway through the city's response to the recent snowstorm, Mayor Tisara Jones told public radio that the city's response was slightly above average.
Are you kidding
me? If I had to give our city a grade, it would be a B minus?
She is.
Now, that was a week. Look, this was a podcast that was recorded a week ago,
yeah,
on January 13th, she said here that the city was handicapped by a shortage of plow drivers. Look, I think some of this is legitimate, but everyone has challenges. So she goes on and she says it's a problem of the side streets, but once you hit the main thoroughfares, it's smooth sailing. No, that's not true at all.
Not at all. And you know, Donna Behringer was here last week when you were gone, and she said when she worked, you know, she was an older person for a while, she said Mayor Slay had an actual document that said, all right, here's how it goes. When it snows, we do this, 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 and this. And there shouldn't be two blocks of too many things that are snowed in. If so, we will take care of it. I mean, they had a plan. They even at some point put salt at the end of streets they couldn't get to so neighbors could put it down. We had none of that. What happened to that plan? Where is it?
I don't know. I don't know. Here, this is good, though. If you read down in the story, I had not done this yet. You'll like this, too. They kind of recount what happened during the storm and the complaints that the public has had, and they go through blah, blah, blah. But then they say this. By Friday morning, because, again, some of these comments were from last week. By Friday morning, some aldermen, incredulous at the suggestion that Williams just learned of bad conditions, were saying that she might need to go. This is Bethany. It's not even Bethany. It's Bethany Williams, the streets director, right? Later that day, this is Friday, Connor Kerrigan, the flack for Jones, held a press conference to announce that the city had hired private contractors to help clear the streets. And he expressed some regret for the administration's handling of the storm. This might go back two Fridays ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He conceded that the city initially failed to grasp the implications of the record-breaking storm and took too long to abandon the city's longtime policy of letting side streets melt on their
Ta-da!
Own. This is my favorite part, though. He was alone at the podium. Jones was in Washington, D.C. at a meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. How perfect is that coming off the travel story for Mayor Jones? Now, I've said this before when it comes to crime, and I'll say this for the public safety issue. There is legitimately no reason why the leader of the city of St. Louis can't. Look, Donald Trump's taken on two and a half hours of questions in the last 2 days. Why can't she express some leadership, go up to a podium on her own without a flack, and express concern and maybe some motivation to get the city back on track? On the crime issue, I said at some point, Lyda Cruzan should have done this. She'd have gone up there every day saying, we're going to get a hold of this. This is our main priority right now, helping the people of St. Louis. They're the first people to hoist the Alphabet Mafia flag, right? Mm-hmm. And talk about Trans Awareness Day and all this other nonsense. But when it comes to simple services that the taxpayers of St. Louis and that we all depend on, even if we don't live in the city, she doesn't want to address that at all.
That is correct.
And here's the worst part. And I hope that maybe we have a legitimate mayor's race here. But do you think that we will?
I don't know.
So
I really
what,
don't.
What changes?
I don't. But I have hope this time. And part of it is, much like the fires in California, you think maybe this will flip it. Maybe this storm will flip people who this many days later, weeks later, are having to tiptoe out of their house or on the sidewalk or to the car or trying
right.
to get out of the alley.
But what's going to have to happen here, and we're only about a month and a half away from some voting, I don't know too much about Andrew Jones, and I don't know if he's got a chance, and I don't think he does. They're trying to get on the air. Kara Spencer, is she campaigning? Is she trying to illustrate some of these points out there? Because I think, and I think Jane's going to agree with you tomorrow, I think this is one of those inflection points where people are going to say, just, you know, it's a bit of a microcosm from the L.A. fires. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, we've had enough of this.
Yeah.
We're not going to put up with it anymore.
We're going to look for competent people rather than anything else.
Well, but we have to vote based on race. Just don't forget about that. You know, we got a white alder person. That's not acceptable in the city of St. Louis. All right, we're coming back. Hey, Thomas Helbig is going to be here. We got a big seminar coming up a week from tonight. All right, we got Sue's News coming up in the next hour. After that, Carl Cannon, Washington Bureau Chief for Real Clear Politics, will be with us. An update on the fires in California. They've really been raging today with the winds picking up. Our friend Brian Ping, a St. Louis native, he anchors for KNX in Los Angeles. We're also going to get back into the birthright citizenship issue with one of our constitutional experts, Ilya Shapiro, who is Director of Constitutional Studies at the Manhattan Institute. He'll join us at 5:07. Right now, Thomas Helbig with us on 97.1 FM Talk. We got another seminar that's coming up 1 week from tonight. Thomas, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Happy New Year. We can still say that. It's still January, right?
Happy New Year
right?
to you. Yes.
Did I hear you just overhear you saying that you were just in Costa Rica?
Yes, I was.
And
a little
it
vacation.
Was nice and warm there, wasn't it?
I left 86-degree weather to come back to 3 above zero.
Forget that, right? But the 86 had to be nice.
It was nice.
You know, I was about maybe 14, 15 years ago, I was trying to go to Costa Rica, and the trip fell through. I've always been fascinated. Did you have, like, monkeys in your room and stuff like that?
Not in the room, but outside of the trees, yes.
Had you been there before?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
It
it's
is on
beautiful.
My list. It's on
it.
My list of places to go.
I got back 2 weeks ago on Monday when the snow and ice hit that Sunday. So luckily, I got in. My flight got in on time, but trying to get home was a nightmare.
And look at the snow and ice is still there, right?
Exactly.
We can't
still
clear
there.
That off. Talk to Sue Thomas. She's not too happy about that. All right, let's talk about what we're going to do 1 week from tonight at
week
the Plaza
from tonight,
Hilton,
next Thursday, January 30th at the Frontenac Hilton at 6:30 p.m. This is our live event. Again, folks, you don't want to miss this. Number one, we're happy Trump's back in office. He's going to be great for the economy. He's going to be good for the markets. But we may have a little volatility left over from the Biden administration. The last 2 months, inflation was still ticking up. Jobs were being lost, even though he was lying about the numbers. But in the long run, the markets are going to do well. And what I'm going to teach everybody when they come next Thursday, linking to the market is so important if you're nearing retirement or already retired. All the analysts are saying at J.P. Morgan and everybody else, for 2025, the S&P should do maybe 8 to 10%. That's it. But I'm going to teach you, if you come to this event, how to capture that 8 to 10% with no risk, no downside risk. You can never lose a penny if the market's turn. You will pay no fees. And I'm going to teach everybody how to lock in their gains every year. Because at some point, volatility is bound to happen. Whether whoever's in the office, we're going to have a down year or so. And when that happens, my clients lock in all their gains and they never lose a penny. So I'm going to teach people that.
So we do these, as you know, we do 5 a year. This will be the first one next Thursday night. They're free. They're very short, too. We don't lock you into a big time commitment. We'll start. Well, Mark and Annie are usually there a little bit before me because I'm getting off
right.
the air. We do a little meet and greet. We introduce you. We do maybe a little trivia.
Mark and Annie and you will all be there to meet our people.
And then you kind of take it from there. And it's what, an hour, hour and 15?
45 minutes.
There you go. 45.
They get up and start saying something about 6:30. I start talking about 6:45 and I'm done at 7:30.
Okay.
45 minutes is all it is. You'll be in and out, folks.
We like to emphasize that because it's not a big time commitment for folks.
No.
And you can always come into the office if you're more comfortable, right?
Absolutely. But learn these strategies. I have been teaching these strategies for the last going on 31 years now, and most people don't even know these strategies exist because your Wall Street advisor will not teach you about it. Why? There's no fees. I'm going to show you how to avoid the fees and avoid the downside risk, but get these gains every year when the markets are up.
Mark is Mark Cox is always good at putting that into perspective because, you know, in his background, is he always...
He was a financial advisor.
He was a financial advisor
and
for
he
a while.
Never even knew about this because
right.
they don't teach the advisors this, but this strategy's been around for 31 years now.
All right, get registered today. All you got to do is go online, right? RetirementKey.com is maybe the best place to go.
Go online at RetirementKey.com or call 314-993-9494. That's 314-993-9494. And we're having a little competition, a little between you, Mark Cox, and Annie Fry. folks, call or get in. We're trying to see which, whoever you're listening to, whoever's your favorite,
okay, the gauntlet
who can register.
Is down. We got to get the Reardon Show registered for the Helbig event. So now that I know we're doing that, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Thomas. Happy New Year. As I said, we'll see you a week from tonight.
We'll see you a week from tonight. Thanks, Mark.
That is Thomas Helbig, and yeah, we have our first seminar. It's going to come up on us very, very, very quickly. I got a couple of minutes here before the top of the hour, and we're going to get back into some politics with Carl Cannon in the next hour. I thought that this was kind of interesting, though. They wrote about it at hotair.com. So if I asked you, I don't think you could do it, and I couldn't do it, so don't feel bad. Can you name the new prime minister of England?
I cannot.
Of Great Britain? Yeah, his name is Starmer, and let's see here, Keir Starmer, and he, you know what he's cracking down on in England right now? Knives. Because you got a guy, and this became an international story that probably got overshadowed here in this country because of all of our news, but there was a guy that bought knives from Amazon and killed three girls. You know, this was the Taylor Swift themed dance class at Southport in July. I don't know if you remember that, but the guy, you know, killed three people. So the new prime minister thinks that the answer to this is to ban knives because apparently kids in England have access to knives and they shouldn't have access to knives on Amazon. So that allowed the Southport terrorist to get his hands on one. You would think that you'd have other access to knives in Great Britain. So you have people that are actually literally in jail right now in Great Britain for telling truth about the killer, saying things is a form of terrorism in England, and you can get punished. It's pretty crazy. You know, if you don't have a great appreciation for what we have in this country and the freedoms that we have, just take a look at Australia. And we like Australia, right? These are allies. We like Australia, New Zealand, England. They have rules that are literally insane. So here's what's going to happen. People trying to buy knives online, this is why we have freedom in this country, right? Will face tougher measures to prove their age under new restrictions being brought forward. Axel Rudicabana, who has admitted murdering three young girls, bought a knife from Amazon when he was just 17, despite laws which prohibit the sale of most knives to under 18. So again, there's already a law that covers this. Online retailers will now be forced to ask anyone buying a knife for two types of identification under government plans.
Wow.
With buyers asked to submit. So just think about this. You need some new kitchen knives, right? You're trying to, you know, upgrade the cutlery. No, you have to submit an identity document, like a passport, and record a live video to prove their age just to buy knives in Great Britain. That's insanity.
Well, it's more of it's the weapon that is the problem rather than the person.
Well, we know that they don't have, you know, guns as much as we do in this country because they don't allow them. But again, this is what happens here with this blame game. It's not knives that are the problem in Great Britain. It's the breakdown of law and order in a society that's unwilling to confront what's happening. That's what we experience in this country, and we're trying to fix it right now. Nobody attacks someone at a Taylor Swift event or a concert because a knife was available to them on Amazon. It's a crazy, deranged person who wanted to kill someone. And this is why we always ask these questions. How far are you going to take something like this? Okay, so now you're going to make it more difficult for people in England to buy knives. We've seen horrific incidents recently of cars being used as weapons in this country and beyond. So then what's going to happen? When a terrorist takes a car through London, well, we're going to have new measures to make sure what? To make sure what? You can't solve all this. How about crack down on criminals? That might be a good step. We're trying to do that in this country. We'll see if it succeeds. Sue's News is coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.